Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
There you go. Yahoo! The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. Hello! Is there anyone in there? Empty. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can I have an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Now, before y'all get carried away with yourselves, let me be clear that the empty tomb is not the story here. It's just the prelude to the resurrection, right? Because an empty tomb generates more questions than answers. Did somebody steal the body? Was Jesus not really dead? Did he just come to? Did somebody help him escape? Listen, if we conclude our Easter celebration and proclamation with an empty tomb, then it's like we've walked out of the theater before the movie ever starts. And if we settle for the empty tomb, we are liable to jump to some pretty erroneous conclusions. For example, 10 years ago, Joelle and my wife and I went to see the national debut of a musical here in Denver called The 12. Did anybody see it? Anybody? Yeah, good reason. Okay. It was about the apostles in the days following Jesus' death. The final scene is in the upper room. The report comes in from Mary. The tomb is empty. And since it's a musical, the cast breaks into a predictably entitled song named Empty. So there you go. And so they're talking. The rest of the scene is in the upper room. The disciples are trying to figure out what really happened. What does this all mean? They conclude that they have been chosen by Jesus because they're just ordinary folks to go out and teach humanity to love each other. This is the description taken from their website about the closing scene. It goes like this. Their fears were not banished yet, but they were now bound by this renewed love and faith in one another. They were ready to leave the room and face the world. And then the cast locks arm, walks into the light, drop curtain. There you go. Can you believe that? It read, now bound by this renewed love and faith in one another. in one another. Not in Jesus. In one another. I couldn't believe it. And get this. The stunning thing is people started clapping. In fact, people stood and applauded. I personally was dumbfounded. Then I was frustrated, and then I was incensed. I was. The only thing that stopped me from getting up and screaming, "You forgot the best part!" was my wife. That's it. Because she knew what I was about to do. They had missed the most important part, the resurrection. Sure, they had the empty tomb, but they forgot that Jesus shows up in that upper room in his resurrected body. How can you cut that out? I mean, it's the heart of the story, the bodily resurrection of Jesus. I couldn't believe it. They had just turned the gospel of life into some insipid, impotent, vacuous, feel-good philosophy. Let's just take what Jesus said, love one another, and let's run with that. No! Because Jesus rising from the dead is the whole point. It actually changes everything. One, it validates his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the cross means nothing, and Jesus is just another wannabe Messiah that got killed by the Romans. And it's bad news for us because it means we're still in our sins. The resurrection of Jesus actually shows us that we're free, that we're forgiven, Right? That we're made right with God. That the price has been paid. Now, I racked my brain all week to come up with the perfect illustration for this. Okay? So bear with me. Y'all ready? It's sort of like when you go to Costco, right? You know? You buy the 24 rolls of paper towel, you get the 6-month supply of mayonnaise. On the way out, you throw in just sort of a bag of mixed nuts and a 90-inch flat screen TV. But you know you're not done, right? Because remember, you got to queue up for them to check your receipt, right? And they sort of look into your cart, a little too judgy for my taste. And yes, yes, sir, those are male lounging pants covered with kitty cats and pirates. Do not be that nosy. But here's the deal. They're just making sure you paid for everything, right? They run the marker down your receipt, and you are good to go. You're free to go. Jesus' resurrection says, you're good to go. Your sins have been paid for through Jesus. You are forgiven. You're set free. Jesus rising from the dead authenticates the power and grace of the cross. Number two. Now, there's a little run-up to this. Since the beginning, humanity has been trying to figure out, Rocco, what happens when you die? I mean, it's the big question, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of the biggest question. Because death is like a specter over all of our lives. Now, some believe that you just stop. You stop. It's over. There's nothing. And lots of folks sort of believe and embrace that today, this sort of cynical modern fatalism, which either gives you permission to be selfish, right? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and if you step on a few people along the way, don't worry about it. Or it can make us arrogant. So you can look down your cynical nose at all of us unsophisticated hillbillies who believe in God. Oh, the concept of God is fine if you need that sort of thing. Right? And I say, listen, if that's the way you want to frame things up, then you be you. But let me tell you, cynical fatalism is a lot easier to stomach when you got a lot of runway in front of you. But when you get closer to actually dying, it tends to get stuck in your throat. Now, the other alternative is what I call the Lion King philosophy, right? Let me quote to you Mufasa. Oh yes, Simba. But let me explain. When we die, our bodies become grass, and the antelopes eat the grass. And so we are all connected in the great circle of life. We become mulch. That's what Disney is teaching our kids. We become mulch. Now, our New Age friends try to glam it up a bit by suggesting we become stardust. Just imagine me with a handful of glitter, Rocky. Stardust. So at this point, our options are nothing or mulch / stardust. Either way, you do not exist. And here's the problem. There is an innate desire in every human being to be seen, to be valued, to be loved, to exist in this life and beyond the grave. And I believe this innate desire in each one of us is an echo of the divine creator's intent for humanity to be eternal. So that brings us to our third options. And the Greeks sort of started this one. There's some sort of conscious existence after death. It's a hazy idea of sort of paradise or heaven where our disembodied souls vaguely exist in the presence of God. But, and this is a big but, you have to be good enough to get in, Penny. You see, you got to be good enough, right? There is some sort of existence after death, but you got to toe the line here. You got to make the grade. You got to be good enough. So let me ask you, is there anyone here who has been good enough? Anybody make the grade? Anyone? Really? Just raise your hand. You are that good. There you go. There isn't one person who's ready to plead their case before God. You know, God, I'm a really, really, I'm a very, 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 very good person. I'm moral, I'm thoughtful, I'm kind, generous. Look at my report card, I got all A's. I'd like to enter heaven and perhaps some VIP status. I think I've earned it, don't you? Wink, wink. And all I got to say to that is good luck, because I'm exceptionally good and even I'm not enough. So what does that say about you all, right? Here's the deal. The resurrection shatters our best ideas about what happens after you die. Because here we have Jesus, fully human. Fully human. The first human to return from the other side, to rise from the dead in his body, his glorified, resurrected body. Jesus' resurrection tells us that there is life after death. There's not nothing, there's life. You don't become mulch, you become your truer self. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. In the upper room following the crucifixion, Jesus comes to his disciples and they recognize him. Jesus is still Jesus. He comes to be in relationship with his friends. He's physical. He's not some sort of apparition. He says in Luke 24, which, by the way, is the primary text for our preaching series entitled Living Hope, where we're going to explore for 5 weeks the reality-altering truth of the resurrection starting next Sunday. It's not going to be a down Sunday. We're bringing the A-team. Join us and grow in your faith. And yes, that was a shameless plug. And no, I am not embarrassed at all. Back to the sermon. Jesus says to his disciples in the upper room, look at my hands and my feet. It is I. It's myself. Touch me. See, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have, and they reach out and they touch him. He's real. He's warm. He's physical. Holy, human, and alive. It destroys all paradigms, all ideas about life and death. And to drive home the point, he says, give me a piece of fish to eat. Why? Because ghosts don't eat fish. They don't eat anything for that matter. He wasn't hungry. He was showing them. Listen, Jesus is proof that there is life after death. We don't just cease to exist or become mulch. We do not become sort of disembodied, nebulous souls. The resurrection of Jesus is a foreshadow. It is a promise. It is a guarantee of our resurrection in and through him. It tells us that there is life to come. And that we too, like, we will be physical. We will be relational. We will touch. We will eat. We will drink. We will dance. We will run. We will live. in God's renewed and restored creation, a new heaven and a new earth. And all of that will happen when Jesus returns in triumph to raise the dead. And we all, everyone will be raised from their graves in their real, physical, resurrected, glorified bodies to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, we will be judged, and he will not be looking for your report card. Jesus will look deeply into your very being, the core of who you are, looking for one thing and one thing only: a reflection of his true self living in you. And that shows that you belong to him. And for those of us who have surrendered our lives, our hearts, our souls to the care of Jesus, have accepted his sacrifice for our sins, we pass through judgment. We will be judged, but we pass through judgment, found innocent. Not because we were good or did everything right, we haven't. None of us is good enough in and of ourselves. We pass through judgment to eternal life for one reason and one reason only. We belong to Jesus. We belong to him. And that's why we're going to get today, we're going to gather in the commons. And together we are going to be part of Emory May's birth into eternal life through the waters of baptism. Today, Emory May, along with untold numbers across this globe in churches far and wide, who will, with Emory May, today die with Christ and rise to eternal life with him and through him. This day, by God's grace and his desire through the sacrament of baptism, Emory May will be inextricably, indissolubly, and eternally united with Jesus forever. The Holy Spirit will come and indwell her, and by doing so, she will be sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own for louder. Ever. Today, Emory May enters into eternal life and joins us who have been baptized, joins us in being the body of Christ, those who have been clothed with Christ through baptism. Listen, if you've been baptized, then you belong to Jesus. Let us live like it. You were saved from sin and death to live as a witness of God's love and mercy in the world. And if you have strayed, or you've just become indifferent, or distracted and absorbed by the seductions of the world, then today is for you too. Let us join together as the people of God and recommit our lives to the one who created you, the one who loves you and sustains you, the one who died for you and rose from the dead for you, the one who offers you eternal life in your resurrected, glorified body and God's renewed creation, where you will be loved and loved, truly loved, where we will dance and laugh and eat and live with each other in the presence of the living God for all eternity. How do we know that this is true? Not because the tomb was empty, but because Jesus in his body rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let's do it again. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.